I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome along to the VMTB Rugby Pod. What an opening round of Six Nations we had last weekend. Three away wins. Obviously the big one for us, Ireland winning in France. Bonus point in Marseille. Matt, you were there. How good was it?
That was phenomenal. Phenomenal. I had a glass of wine with Quinny and a lot of the old and the bold after the game, and I asked all of them, Rory Best and Tommy Bowe and some of the old commentators around, did anyone see 5-1 to Ireland? And no one saw that. We all thought Ireland had a show. If they could, you know, keep the crowd quiet, score the points. But the absolute dominance of the Irish team, and without taking anything away from that dominance, the really poor lack of energy and lack of cohesion from the French, the whole night was a surprise at both sides. How wonderful Ireland play, and but also how poor France were, and that's reflected in the positive for Ireland. They didn't take their foot off the throat of the French. They didn't like think we've had enough. They denied themselves kicking for penalty, kick for touch, mauled. They beat them everywhere. They beat them at the mall. They beat them at the line-out. The line-out that was, we said, was in trouble, and it was during the World Cup. Paul O'Connell got it going again. It was magnificent. They won a couple of French line-outs. And apart from one scrum, which was just after the French replacement front row came in, about the 50-minute mark, I think it was about the 50-minute mark, where Ireland gave away a penalty, I thought they dominated every aspect of the play. Sean Edwards, the defensive coach for France, came on and said that they were dominated at the breakdown, and I think it was 13-2 the turnovers. Don't quote me exactly on that. I've got that number, but I'm pretty certain that's what he said. Like, on every aspect, it was incredible. And obviously, the two young players that came out, McCarthy, played so well, and Jack Crowley, you know, after some errors, showed real mental strength and recovered and kicked a couple of crackers from the sideline and steered the team around the field pretty well. And when you talk about a 10, if you're saying your team scored 5, your 9 and 10 have to play pretty well. Obviously, the pack lays it down, but the 9 and 10 have to play well. Bundiaki, Magic, who didn't play well? There was no one. They all had really great games. I hope will back me up on this. In an absolutely ferocious atmosphere before the game, the national anthems were just mad. You know, the French national anthem was incredible. So, you know, a great, great day to be a supporter of the Irish team.
And we're going to a 7-1 split next Sunday against Italy, Matt.
Let you warm me up.
No, I got to keep going with a 7-1 split against Italy.
On a serious point. And that is a serious point, but Alan...
The 6-2 split was brilliant genuinely.
It was brilliant, I know that, but no one called that result, really, did they, Alan? Like, I know what you said...
What do you mean nobody called that result? Matt Williams and myself, the three of us did. We said Ireland would win last week. Okay. We went for three away wins.
Okay, but like by that margin, come on.
Of course.
Yeah, you know.
No,
but
look,
minute one, the 80, they would it be fair to say they dictated the game?
Yes, yeah. They did. Yeah, I think they started the game superb, and Matt knows that as a coach or as a player. Anybody going to France, whether you're with your province or your country, whether you're with the under-20s or whatever team you're with, the women's teams, whatever. The last thing you want to do going to France is start badly and the opposition get their tails up, because that's just the temperament of the French sports people. When they get the crowd behind them and they build confidence, they can be phenomenal, because they have incredible athletes, all their sports teams, and it's a massive country. The profile of people they can pick in their teams, they're very athletic always. So if they get confidence, get self-belief, and historically going back when I started with Munster in 96-97 season, going down to France, you know, that was that would we had some harsh lessons earlier on. You're half asleep for the first 10 minutes. You're waiting for players around you to do something, and suddenly you're standing on your post two or three times in the first 10, 15 minutes. And it's crazy. So obviously things have changed, and I think Drico changed that whole narrative in 2000, didn't he, Matt, with those three tries? That was a big line in the sand about with Irish sports people. You know, it isn't about kicking the ball up in the air anymore and hoping for the best and hoping for a bit of luck and stifling the opposition. We've seen a great transition, but we've seen a kind of a self-confidence and self-belief that, you know, you have to, the mental side of it is important. We're still a very small rugby nation. We're still going to be tarnished with never being beyond the quarterfinal. But I think what this team proved last Friday night is there's exceptional players here and they haven't gone away. And it's exciting in a sense that, you know, we've, you know, Calvin Nash comes in, Jack Crowley starts, Joe McCarthy. There's three players now who were involved in a historic win here. Biggest winning margin ever. So that kind of gives you great hope that the transition of this group and getting a few more young players in, that'll evolve naturally. But Friday night was big. So they started well. You said it there, Stuart, from the word go. And, you know, you get a certain feel in commentary that, you know, maybe I'm a pessimist sometimes. I get criticised online for any of the... I think I had three or four people critiquing me at the weekend that I was a bit negative on Ireland. And you know, I'm nearly a France supporter at times the way that I was talking France. I didn't listen back to my commentary, but I was sure from the word go that I was praising Ireland for the way they started and the ability to come out in the field, the body language, the execution, the bravery in a sense. You're not in your shell here. You're not kind of going, God, we're going to kick into the court, we're going to kick long and we're going to make no mistakes in our own half. They were on the front foot from the word go, and I think it was an exceptional performance. And I know Paul Willems says sent off, but I still say this with conviction, Ireland are winning that game, even if Paul Willems is on the field for 80 minutes. Not by the same scoreline, but I think they're winning the game because mentally, physically, and from a tactical point of view, they were on it the other night. And that was probably the key going into the game. That was the question mark that we all had. Both these teams suffered horrendous, disappointing losses in the quarterfinal. How would they psychologically be? You know, sport is about picking yourself up back up off the ground, and it's difficult at times. And this Irish team were badly affected after that World Cup because we genuinely had a team for the first time ever in my involvement in playing in World Cups and commentating in World Cups. We genuinely, it wasn't like Ireland being cocky. We had a team that were good enough to actually win a World Cup. You need a few breaks. South Africa, wonderful side. Unbelievable players, but they got their bit of luck in that quarterfinal against France. England had them beaten in a horrific semi-final, and they got their luck. We, you know, it deserted us. So my point is, this is a very good side, and it's heartening to see that the couple of players that have come in. There's Robbie Henshaw. I thought he was exceptional at 13. Everyone was fearful that, with respect to Robbie, he has been such a consistently good player for so long. He's a British and Irish line twice. But Ringrose has that kind of magical dancing footwork, and he has been really central to Ireland's attack in the last 2 years. So there was a little bit of a fear there. No Johnny Sexton. And I just thought the way they coped was exceptional. And I keep saying it, you know, people... Do the Irish coaches deserve a bit of criticism for the World Cup loss? Possibly, in a sense that maybe they should have rested players more. That's the only thing that I could look at and say. Some people were saying, well, Jack Crowley should have come on with 20 minutes to go. Hindsight's a great thing. You know, I don't think that Ireland team were fatigued in that quarterfinal. That's my opinion as a player. You know, they were well rested, well prepped going into that tournament. I don't think fatigue was the issue. When you lose the game, people can pick holes in it. So, you know, I think Andy Farrell has been amazing. And I think he's very central to what the mentality was of that Irish team going out the other night. They were like a group of people who were comfortable. recovered from the disappointment, but also very determined and inspired. So, you know, look, it's it heals some of the wounds from the World Cup. That's still going to be there, but they can't change that now. This is the next thing. People are asking me in the build-up to this French game, oh, sure, it doesn't really matter. It's hard to get up for this. It's a bit of an anticlimax. Yes, true, true, true. But as a sports person, it's the next thing involved. You can only learn from the past. The disappointment is there, but you know, you're now going into a cauldron in the south of France. You have two options here. You can sink or swim, and they swam, and they performed brilliantly. So, nearly frustrating. Matt is talking about there was a good few of us in the hotel across the road from the hotel from the stadium the other night, and I think Drico said it at one stage, you know, it's nearly more frustrating and more disappointing because they proved tonight that they're an exceptional team. And but it is what it is. I think all the coaches deserve credit and the players for it. And they put themselves in a real good position now. They won't want us saying it, but no team has ever won back-to-back Grand Slams in the Six Nations in the modern era. And they have a chance to be the first team to do that. And they should expect to do it if that's their standard. It's going to be difficult, and they may, you know, have a few stumbles along the way because it's not. But they're favourites to do that now, and I think it's really pleasing that start on Friday night.
Certainly is, Matt. A man we talked about, probably one of his biggest games in Ireland shirt, the biggest so far. Jack Crowley, after a shaky start, he came back and had a good second half and a pretty good game in general. What did you make of Jack Crowley steering the ship from minute 1 to 80?
I think the whole thing about the Irish psyche, as Alan was talking about, was a very positive psyche. But the Irish people tend to talk in absolutes. And you hear what Queen was saying there. You know, it was failure at the World Cup. The World Cup failed because of the gap, the distance of Jordy Barrett's hand under the ball when Kelleher scored a try. The whole thing, you know, the Jack Crowley thing, he is fantastic, and he is. He played really well. He's the answer here going forward. It's not an absolute on Jack. It's not an absolute on Joe McCarthy either, even though they both played well. If we come back to Jack, so many positives. He'll keep the jersey. He'll keep going forward. If your team, as I said before, your team scores 5 tries, the 9 of 10 are doing something right, even though the forwards are laying it down. Jack has some things to work on, and this is not a negative, because he is not the finished article. Let's not compare a young man in really the second season of his professional career. I know he's longer than that, but the last season and this season are really where he's flourished and he's consistently getting starts at 10 for his province and for his national team. That is where you learn, and he is learning. So I'm not being negative, I'm just stating what he's done. If we look over the games Jack has played, he did a bad drop kick, a shot at drop goal against South Africa, a bad chip against Scotland. He did got charged down, poor decision to do a grubber and kicked out on the full. So he has to work at his decision-making on his kicking. We saw him drop a goal for Munster to win that semi-final. We saw him do a cross-field kick for Gary Ringrose to score a try in that same Scotland game. And we saw him kick magnificently. A couple of great punts that set up the Maul tries that Ireland scored on the weekend. He kicked absolutely beautifully for touch. Even though he missed one right in front, he kicked beautifully from the sideline, right in front of where I was sitting. So Jack can kick. It's when he kicks and what he chooses, his kick selection, that he has to work on. So is that a reason to drop him? Absolutely not. But that's what the young man has to work on. The second thing he has to work on, and again, I'm going against myself, I'm saying it's what Sexton used to do. Every time Sexton took the ball, he was doing what you tell the littlest player in rugby to do, run onto the ball. So when you get down to the under-8s, I remember my son was playing with the under-8s, he's saying to all the kids, don't stand there and wait for the pass, mate. Run, and then we'll pass it, and you catch it as you run. A 10 must do that every time. A 10 must run onto the ball, be square. What does that mean? Run straight, get your hips parallel with the try line, the 22 and the halfway. Why do you do that? Because then you're a threat. And if you're a threat, you attract defenders. And then you can pass, run, or kick. The triple threat, your pass, run, or kick is your triple threat. That's what a 10 should have every time. And too many times, Jack was standing still, and that's getting his depth wrong. And that's, again, that's what he's going to learn, getting his depth wrong, catch, pass without going forward. So what am I saying? I think that was without doubt a success for Jack. No two ways about it. But let's also just acknowledge the reality. Let's not be absolutists. You know, the other absolute, Ireland can't play against big packs. They beat South Africa twice and France twice in a row. So that's a myth that's gone. You have a bad day, you don't play well. So that people were saying this was an absolute. Ireland cannot play against big packs. And that's crap and it's dead. So let's not get absolute with Jack. Let's give the young man some time. Let's understand he is learning. He is a work in progress. But he is hugely promising. And I thought he should come out of that game, especially mentally. And I thought the mental side, what Quinny was saying about the coaches, the mental aspect of the Irish play, the coaches deserve great credit. And no more than Crowley, who made mistakes early on, and most or many young players would go, oh, I'm making mistakes. I've kicked out in the full, grubbing it, I've got charged down. And missed a kick right in front. That young man put it all behind him and just got on with the game and played really well. So there was a huge, and let me tell you, that was in a very, very hostile environment. He comes home to the beauty of the Viva, family going to be there, people cheering him on. The history that the Aviva has, he'll go much better. But that, Jack, is a work in progress, a positive one, and he'll keep going forward. But like the whole Irish team, there is not absolutes about this team, and we shouldn't have absolutes about anyone. So I've been thinking about this since the game, because people were just saying, now we got McCarthy, oh, we can handle every pack. No, you can't. You've got to take it week by week, game by game. Quinny's right, they're favourites to do what no one else has done and win back-to-back Grand Slams, and I think they can do it, but that is a week-by-week proposition. Once you go too far ahead, you fail.
Quinny, Matt touched on him there at the end of his sentence there. Big Joe McCarthy, player of the match. Do you pick player of the match, by the way? But
no,
simply,
no,
how good was he? He was ridiculous on and off the ball,
yeah,
wasn't
he? Yeah, he was. And I said it a few weeks ago. I'm not looking for any credit in that, but I just thought what I'd seen from Joe McCarthy in recent times with Leinster and the power and the athleticism he has, that he has to start. It's a case of who plays with him. So, yeah, he was brilliant. He was brilliant. He's abrasive. He's physical. You run at him. If he doesn't smash you in a technique tackle, he's lifting you up. And, you know, if you're on a pick and go around the side of the ruck, he's lifting you and nearly carrying you back on the other side. It stops the whole flow of the game. So you talk about players, and I've always said this about back rowers. I know I played there, but if you have a disruptive back row in your team, they can destroy the opposition if they're on it, and if they can affect so many things because they're nearly close to the ball all the time. Do you know what I mean? Like, you get the turnover, you have the tackle technique, you have the wrap tackles, you have holding people up in mauls, you have carries. They're the guys in the middle of that 1 to 15 that have so many involvements throughout the game. And Joe McCarthy, obviously, when you get athletic forwards and footballing and ball carrying second rows and stuff that like that, it adds more to your game, and every coach loves that. The more ball carriers you have in the pack, the better. But the more aggressive, abrasive defenders, poachers, look at Marchand and Movaca, how good they've been for Toulouse in France, poaching all the time. It stops the flow of the game. So we now have a guy who can have, you know, major influence on the flow of the opposition. You could be on the racks, and Joe McCarthy has the ability. I know Tyburn is brilliant, so I'm not trying to pick out one guy here. I'm just, because, you know, Tyburn has come up with incredible turnovers. Josh van der Vleer, Doris, you know, they're turnover kings. They're brilliant. But we now have a guy that's incredibly powerful. He can lift people back out of that combat zone, if you like, and then he's a real strong carrier. So if you look at the last 20 minutes in the New Zealand game, whenever he came on, 15, 20 minutes, he made two or three carries and I was like, Jesus, he's gone through All Black defenders. So he is that, just that explosive power that gives them something different. And it's not just that, because I think he's fit, he's a footballer, so there's many involvements throughout the game from Joe McCarthy. And Paul won't mind me saying this, a number of years ago he spoke to me about Joe. I remember Paul was in helping the under-20s 4 or 5 years ago and he was doing a bit with them, and we'd often chat. And I just remember Joe McCarthy coming up, and he's really excelled. And here's a guy, like, a lot of people didn't know his story. He was on the third or fourth in school, you know what I mean? He wasn't a standout in school's rugby at all. So it's also a great message. I said it to my own son and his mates. You don't have to be a star school's rugby player or a star club player to, you know, when you grow up and you become a man and you get into your 20s. John Hayes, another great example, only started playing rugby at 19. He's 124 caps for Ireland and two Lions tours. So Joe is, it's a real good story, and it was lovely to see him with his brother after the game and his family. That was really special. But look, he won't want any of that attention. He went out, did his job, and did it brilliantly.
He certainly did, and hopefully have another 10 years in the Irish jersey plus more.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
But Matt, we must move on to this Sunday, Ireland, Italy. Would you expect many changes, or will it be the same 15, or would you say you'll change a couple up?
Well, Stewie, let's start by saying Andy Farrell and his staff got their selections absolutely spot on for the match last week at the Velodrome. Give them a lot of credit for their selections. The most influence a coach can have on the game is the people they select to run on the field. And that whole selection was correct from the bench right through. Every player that came on really contributed. Now, I think they'll pick the same team. The only question I've got that you might know, Quinny, is Calvin Nash fit? Because he came off with a very bad limp.
It looked like a dead leg. I think he was walking around afterwards, so I don't know.
He was taped up with ice on his quad. I thought the same thing.
Yeah, it was a dead
leg.
They
walked around the yard, he was limping badly. So I think if they all recover, if Nash recovers, I would say it's the same selection. And I think he would be the only possible change, as barring injury, because that was a very good side. And the very last thing, and the only thing that will bring Ireland undone, and I don't believe it'll happen, is if they take this Italian side lightly. So, and I know, I don't believe they will. They've never done in the past. The fact you look at the World Cup, they put 80 points on Romania. That's showing great respect for your opposition, but playing your best and doing your best. I don't see any reason why that would happen. But again, Nash was in serious pain. Whether he can recover, he's got an extra couple of days because they played on Friday and it's a Sunday game. But that would be the only one that I see. And to add to that, I also think that the fact that they keep combinations together. Now, does Gary Ringrose come in? Well, I think that is a real dilemma. Because I agree with Quinny, Robbie Henshaw was absolutely outstanding. It's really interesting looking across the teams. Specialist 13s are seem to be becoming a rarer commodity in the Northern Hemisphere, and real quality ones. I don't believe Gale Fiku is a specialist, and I think he's a 12 that plays, as like Robbie Henshaw, he's a 12 that plays very well at international level as a 13. So real top quality 13s are rare, and developing. I know Robbie Henshaw's played there a lot, but I thought that's the best game I've ever seen Robbie play in a 13 jersey. If Ringrose is fit, that is a question for sure. Will that also affect the 6-2? Will they go back to a 5-3 on the bench if Ringrose comes in and Henshaw or one of them, they might keep Henshaw and put Ringrose on the bench. Would that come in back to a 5-3 bench against Italy? That's a distinct possibility, a distinct possibility. You know what all those are? Really good dilemmas. Really, really good dilemmas as a coach. You know, you look at them going, wow, do I pick Ringrose? Do I pick Henshaw? Do I go over a 5-2 or 6? You know, Ireland's in good shape at the moment and coming back home. Remember, it's been a long time. I know they played a game at the Aviva as a warm-up game for the World Cup, but they don't really count. So it's close to a year since they've had a game at home. And I think they'll want to put their best team out there and show what they can do.
Yeah, well, we'll see what team he picks. Two things, actually. Nash, what a debut he had, you know, the try and so assured. But also Italy, you know, we must briefly touch on them. Running in close, yes, they scored a late try, but they did look a bit better.
Yeah, they know each other inside out. I think they had... You know, a good start to a good, decent Six Nations last year. They caused teams a lot of problems. They caused Ireland some problems in Rome and France in that first game. So their attack is something that's you've got to be very mindful and wary of. They did cause England problems and they had a lot of line breaks as well. And so I think, I don't think Ireland can underestimate them in any way. They won't. And that's just a given. They won't. Regarding the Ireland selection, I'd probably rotate the bench and throw a lot of the bench into the starting team and take out a core group of them. The chances are Andy Farrell would want to keep this kind of togetherness and try and build on it. Because if you make changes, then potentially guys don't have... They've won game in 3 or 4 weeks. You know, when you think there's another break after... There's a break after this game. Then there's a game against Wales. And then there's another break before the last two games. So it's a fair, you know, you could have one or two games in 4 or 5 weeks for some guys. So look, who knows? I thought the impact off the bench was really exceptional. Kelleher, Healy, Beelam, brilliant in the scrum when they came in. You know, Keane Healy, I often think about him. He's 36. He's 126 caps now. I would not be surprised if this fella is at the next World Cup because he's that really? Kind of an athlete and
he'll be 39 then?
Freak of nature in the most respectful way. He's just freakish. But like, you know, brilliant impact off the bench from those guys. James Ryan, Baird, Conan was superb. Good dilemmas, as Matt said, and Conor Murray and Frawley, all on. Positive night, you know, it's different if you're bringing all these guys on and you're 10 points down or you're 7 points down or whatever, but there's a possibility a couple of rotations on the bench, but who knows.
Scotland, Wales, Matt, talk to me. Game of two halves, as they say. Scotland very good in the first half, then Wales, you know, young side. Gatland said in the first half was arguably one of his worst 30 minutes of coaching that's happened, or 30 years of coaching that's happened in that 40 minutes. But in the second half and 25 minutes, they were brilliant. Look, it finished 27-26 to Scotland. But your overall thoughts and summary of that game, Matt?
I think if we take it from the Scottish point of view first, I think that really exemplifies this current Scotland side, that the talent is immense within that group of players. As I've often said, I think it's the most talented Scottish team over the last 5 years or 4 years since the 1990s, you know, when they were winning championships. These are very talented guys, and I think Gregor Townsend, the coach, his management of the group has been excellent. It is their mental, we spoke about the mental strength of the Irish side, and I think it is the mental frailties of the Scottish side that that gave you the extremes of that game. A brilliant first half and what was close to a catastrophic second half. Two yellow cards, a lack of intensity, a lack of direction, and it was just a real drop in mental effort. Like, they felt the game was won, especially after Vandalomu, as Robbie calls him, Vandalomu scored the try just after half time to make it 27-0. They just relaxed. Now, they're not the only team to have done that. They're not the first team to have done that. But good teams don't do that. Teams that win championships, as I said about Ireland, Ireland kept their foot on the French throat. They didn't let them off. They didn't let them back in the game, even though France scored that try just before half time and came out and played positively for moments in that early part of the second half. Ireland didn't relent. The Scots did. And now, if the Scots can master that mental side, and we've got to say the Italians are very similar. The Italians put in a really high-quality first half against England and then came out and mentally were poor. Unforced errors, lots of drop passes, dumb penalties, poor line-outs decisions, lost line-outs. Mentally, they dropped in the second half, as the Scots did, and invited Wales back into the game. Now, I'm probably being a little bit disingenuous to the Welsh. They played much better in the second half. And we've got to understand that for 20 minutes of that second half, there were two Scottish players off in sin bins. But the Welsh did play better. But in my opinion, they played a lot better because the Scots invited them in. Now, Cardiff is a really tough place to go to, and the Scots don't win there very often. So we have to keep all those factors in play. If Scotland can mentally be far more determined, they should be a much more difficult side to beat. The problem is that they have this is not a new phenomenon. Now, remember, a couple of years ago, they beat France in France, beat England at Twickenham, went home and lost to a really poor Wales. Now that's the type of thing we saw again last week. This mental high and mental low, emotional high, emotional low, that they have to somehow calm out. I'm not sure. I'm not being part of the team. You don't know how they do it, but a talent is not their problem. Now, their forward pack aren't huge, but within the Six Nations, they're a very, very capable side. But mentally, they still have to keep that consistency that we saw they didn't have over one game. They've got to keep that over the 2-month period. And right now, they haven't done it in the past. Hopefully, they can show a little bit more of it in the future. Wales are just lacking talent. Not courage, not effort, not passion for their jersey. They're just lacking talent at the moment and experience. They've got a lot of players gone, a lot of old heads gone, and they're just really lacking in those key areas of talent and experience.
Alan, it was Scotland's first win in Cardiff in 22 years. You see this week Ian Madigan covering a bit of flack, just saying when he was asked in studio, you know, that second half performance, did that make Scotland, even though they got the win, be a bit more, and he felt they were more fragile. Do you think it's fair enough to get that flack, or do you actually think they've won the game, it doesn't really matter?
I think they've won the game, and essentially it's a different feeling. When you're as a player out there and you're winning a game comfortably and a team comes back and frightens the life out of you, you know, you could even see the reaction. They weren't jumping around the place. If you'd given it to him before the game to win by a point, yes, they'd have taken their hand off. I fancied him to win anyway, Scotland. Fragile is probably some Scottish people will take offence to that, but they're inconsistent, and that's the reality. And, you know, there's a lot of good players in that Scottish team, and I had a real fear last year for Ireland and Murrayfield. I remember thinking, I think this Ireland are really going to earn it here. It's going to be so difficult.
And will you still have fear in round five?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah, because I think they're very good players. I think Ireland, I'd say this again, it's not being cocky. The evidence is there for the whole world to see that this Irish squad and team have been really good and are still really good. And they're probably a level above most teams. They're justified in the ranking. You know, in 2019, Ireland were number one for a while. It was very false ranking. Their ranking last year and now is actually where they're at. They're up there at the top two or three teams in the world, and that's the reality. Yeah. You have to say that. They've proven that. Scotland are a team that are some brilliant players, real quality. When they get their kind of mojo going, they can cause all sorts of problems for teams. So, you know, even Ian saying fragile is, like, I wouldn't be taking that as an insult. I'd be taking that as, look, I saw some stuff online from Scottish people saying that, oh, well, you know, we've been accused of winning Grand Slams and we've been accused of being cocky and all this stuff. I don't think that, he certainly didn't mean that, because I think it's just that consistency, and that's the reality of it. And
There's so much talent in that back line,
oh, yeah,
you know, isn't there?
Phenomenal.
Sorry, you never know, mind the forwards,
phenomenal,
but there is.
Phenomenal. Unbelievable players in that Scottish team. Players that I would have massive respect for, in a sense that I watch these guys a lot and I just go, wow, they're really, really good players. It's just that consistency. So maybe it is a little bit of a mental thing, but maybe it's part of their journey, in a sense of a lot of these ups and downs, to get to a point where culturally they have a seamless transition when players come through into the squad and stuff like that. And on their day, of course, they can beat anyone. But, you know, there's a few losses there and inconsistencies that they've just got to take on the chin. So, very dangerous side, and a side that could actually challenge for the championship. Even beforehand, we were thinking France, Ireland, Scotland are next, probably England. A little bit unknown with England. Wales rebuilding, and, you know, Italy, you know, and the evidence we've seen, they're very dangerous. But, you know, Scotland will have a big say. But let's see now on Saturday. They've got France at home. They're going to be dealing with a real beast mode scenario from the French. And I think France are, you know, you'd be asking us for predictions at the end, but I think Scotland will get a real bounce off getting that win. First time in 22 years, as you said, and it was a really positive day for Scotland.
Before predictions, Matt, England. You know, they scraped over the line in Rome. Well, they got it done anyway. Scrape's probably a bit harsh. Did you see a wee bit more attacking sense that you liked?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You've got to give Borthwick credit. I saw great change from the World Cup in attack and defence. They really did try to play a more positive game. And let's be real here. The tactics they employed at the World Cup are not going to beat the top four or five teams in the world. It will definitely beat the bottom teams, but you're not going to beat the top five teams by kicking away 94% of possession from your 9 and 10, which they did against Argentina. So they had, if they didn't change, it was rugby suicide, because they just can't beat the big sides. So they definitely did. They had a lot better shape. They were trying to move the ball around, and it wasn't perfect, because they hadn't done it for a while. This is the first run out under a new system, and I get that, but they were definitely trying to do that. And I've got to say, exactly the same in defence. Felix Jones was brought in, who was South African, obviously an Irish native, played for Leinster and Munster, coached at Munster, went to South Africa, implemented a really devastating defensive system with the Springboks, part of two World Cup wins. He's gone to England. Now, did it work on Saturday? Now, no, it didn't. Should we expect it to work on Saturday? Probably not, because it's not fair to think after, you know, one game that, and when at national level you only get a few days with the players, it would have worked. But part of the problem for England was that system of compact players rushing up very fast leaves a lot of space between the last defender and the sideline. And Italy were able to exploit that in the first half. A couple of great tries. You've got to give the Italians a lot of credit. It was really attractive rugby. But Felix will have to fix that pretty quick. Or it could be a grim tournament for them, because if Italy are exploiting it, I can tell you the French and the Scots and the Irish will rip it apart. The second part of that was, oh, they got away with a lot. I felt that England were offside a significant amount of the time in that game and left unpunished. And I can pretty much promise you that the Welsh, who are playing England at Twickenham this week, will be pointing that fact out to the referees. You know, the English defence wants to rush, but it's got to stay onside. Mind you, the Springboks haven't been offside for years and got away with it. So why should we start penalising the English? But it'd be unfair to suggest that defence should work straight away week one. That's not what I'm suggesting. They are in transition with both their attack and their defence, and I think both of it in the long term is a very positive thing. They will be vulnerable in this tournament until that beds in. Now, defence is easier to bed in than attack, but right now they are vulnerable to both. And that they are fortunate. So England are really fortunate. If you look at their playing, the way it goes, they've got Italy, Wales, Scotland, and then they step up. Ireland at home, France away. So you can see that they'll have really both the offence and the defence will have the best part of 6 weeks to be organised before they hit the two best teams in the tournament. And they will need that. If they had pulled Ireland last week or France last week, they would have been burnt considerably, because the space that they are leaving on the outside of their defensive line is just vast. It's vast at the moment.
So a good few weeks for Felix to get his proper message across. I'll keep this brief, but the under-20s on Saturday, Auxonne-Provence, you were there commentating. Richie Murphy's done some job, and they could make it, three Grand Slams in a row?
Yeah, they were brilliant up against a very powerful French side who, in reality, were missing some players, but to the top 14 that was on at the weekend. So there was a number of players missing for them. Tua Lange was playing Friday night. He came off the bench. He could have been playing in that under-20s, but they have so many players to choose from. Very strong French team. There was still 8 of them involved on Friday night that were involved in a World Cup winning squad in the summer. So they have so much power, quality. But this Irish team, yeah, surprisingly, not surprisingly, because I think that's unfair, but there's only like you, Gavin, Joe Hopes,
Brian Gleeson,
Danny Sheehan and Evan O'Connell there from last year.
So a third, yeah.
Kind of five. Mm-hmm. They were superb.
Gavin especially. Yeah, advocate. He was great.
You, Gavin in the centre, unbelievable. Phenomenal performance from him. Brian Gleeson, Jack Murphy, Richie Sun at 10, the kicking, the control. You could name all these players again. It's such a good win that there's so many of them stood out. Willem de Klerk at 13, what a player.
They'll say game at a time, but they will be looking for another clean sweep. Is that too far?
Yeah, it depends. You see, some of the 20s teams, there's a good bit of rotation. So France could make loads of changes. England had a big win against Italy. You just don't know. Historically, under 20 coaches do make a number of changes, so it depends. But look, they're in a good position again. They've got to go, obviously, to the game away in England is a different proposition. You just don't know what you're going to get, and the physicality of English underage teams. But brilliant start. It's a big Irish pack. It was, Andy Ward's son was playing at 7. Matt Bryn Ward.
Good man, Andy.
Yeah,
good,
some great players in that team. And their bench is really good as well. So they took a few hammer blows and, they just dusted themselves down every time France scored. And they went up and scored. And then, some great performances. It was a really positive result for Richie Murphy's side.
7 out of 7 with the boot for Jack as well, win the game.
Yeah, they play Italy on Friday night in Cork. And
Virgin Media Park.
Virgin Media Park, sorry. Virgin Media Park, yeah, I'll say that a few more times. Freddie Pucciarello's son is playing, who played Munster, the Argentinian, who played with Munster.
That's brilliant.
He's playing 10 for the Italians on Friday night.
Just like his dad.
Martino Pucciarello. So I can't wait. I'm going to meet Freddie there. And I remember the kid as a baby in Limerick, and he's now playing against Ireland. The other son, Bernardo's, he definitely wants to come and play in Ireland. And he's not going to be donning any other international jersey if he's good enough. He was born in Ireland. Martino was born in Argentina. But that'll be interesting on Friday night anyway.
Well, we hope the under-20s all the best. Matt, predictions? According to Quinny, we got them all right last week. I don't agree. But anyway, so Italy, Ireland, England, Wales and Scotland, France.
Ireland, England, Scotland, France is a very tough game to call. I actually think the French are in a bit of trouble. I was very surprised at them Friday night. The difficulty of predicting this is which Scottish team's going to turn up, the first half or the second half. If the first half team turn up, Scotland will win that game. If they don't, France will win it. So it's a real tough one to go. But I actually think an upset's on the cards, and the Scots can, if they can put 70-odd minutes together, they can win that game. Because I think the French are really...
And what are they going to do for the other 10, Matt? You said 70.
Mate, they can't.
That's fine. You can, yeah, okay, right. You're not looking for perfection, like. You're saying 70 minutes will do it.
I'm real. I'm a realist. I always have been a realist.
He's going to win the Scottish fans back.
Oh, yeah. He's trying to get the Scots fans back there, yeah.
I know.
Right, I'm going for three home wins, Scotland, England, Ireland. Three away last week, three home this week.
Lads, been a pleasure as another Six Nations round beckons. Don't forget to join us 1:30 on Saturday afternoon for the build-up for Scotland, France on Virgin Media One.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.